go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 12th day of April 2024. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to the podcast. But if you're listening live and you want to pop into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, well, you're always welcome. Newbies are welcome as well. You know, there's only that one time when you have to ride the goat and then you learn the secret handshake. But after that, you're a regular. And if you do pop in, you'll be greeted by Anatole and Squeaky and Theo, the early arrivers, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, Bud Trimmer Emeritus, and Zimmergist Extraordinaire, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I'm Robin. Sorry about yesterday. But, I mean, I'm sorry about the weather. Sorry about the power company. Sorry about the winds and the rain. Isn't there a verse in, what, King Lear, where the fool says the something... Something, the wind and the rain. I don't know. It's Friday. But at any rate, it is Friday on the front porch. And here in about an hour or so, we will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And in which we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table, around which we gather each and every Friday to cuss and discuss. There's a button at the top of HeadOn.live that will carry you into the aforementioned Old Holler Tree. There's so many places here. But it'll carry you into the Old Holler Tree, and you can be part of the conversation. And we welcome all voices. Well, I mean, brain can't play. And right-wingers can't play, and maggots can't play. But, you know, if you're liberal, progressive, democratic, you know, of basic goodwill and reasonable intelligence, which lets out the aforementioned, you know, Republicans, libertarians, maggots, et cetera, birthers, deathers, tenthers, ninthers, birthers, booger eaters, whatever. Anatole, why are you asking what year it is? I already said it's the 12th day of April, 2024. I mean, don't confuse me. It's been, at any rate, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we say thank you to our 12th and 11th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you so much to Paul. Thank you, Paul. And thank you to Gary. Thanks as well to Brendan. Brendan said, you guys have been having one clusterfuck of a week or so. I know 10 bucks isn't much, but here's to a better week coming. Peace, lady. And fuck all those. And it dot, dot, dot. And it cut it. Fuck all those thunderstorms. Fuck all those tornadoes. I'm guessing, Brendan. But thank you so much. Thanks as well to Christopher in Oregon. Thank you to David, also in Oregon. Thank you to John over in Maryland. Thank you, John. Thank you to Tony and Chico. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. And you're right, Brandon. It has been an MF-er of the beginning of April. Like I said the last time I tried to get on the air, when T.S. Eliot wrote April is the cruelest month, he knew not what he spoke. So here we are. It is in fact Friday on the front porch, and we're going to just set the fundraising goal at $1,300, because frankly, when the weather kicks us in the teeth, it really does throw everything into a tailspin. So basically, that would be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and $100 of Monday, even though Thursday was a bust. But we really need a community-made, a horn Friday on the front porch community-made miracle. We genuinely do. Program note, reminder, as I've been saying all along, I won't be here Monday. I will make every effort to be here for Tuesday. Where I'm going is about 4.5 hours from here. And my appointment is at 8:30 on Tuesday morning, so I should be able to get out of the appointment and get on up the road and be here in time to jump into the chair, and we'll have Titanic Tuesday and Moran Monday all at the same time. Fingers crossed. You know, if we can take a bite out of the fundraising hole. Because, frankly, at this point in time, I don't have enough to get there or do it. And I'm not even talking about the copay for the appointment. I'm talking about the gasoline, the food, the lodging. This is a consult for a surgery I hope to have later in the year. As far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better. And so the PayPal button is over at headon.live. Sorry to beat on this the way I do, but it's how we keep all of this stuff going. And I wouldn't be pursuing this if this was something frivolous. This is critical to the ongoing success of the life I lead now and my happiness. So, at any rate, $1,300 and God, I can't even do the math on it, but I'll cross my fingers and hopefully we'll get something rolling fairly quickly. It would be wonderful if we could do that early on in the program. It's been a hell of a week. And even when I managed to, what was it? Was it Wednesday when we had Programmus interrupt us? Broadcastus interruptus. Actually, we should be using the feminine. Broadcasta interrupta. I don't know. Yeah, but tomorrow, there's a rumor that we might see that big, bright, yellow, shiny thing in the sky that terrified our sister Micah a few weeks back. We'll see. Hope it plays out. If you want to think of it that way, Irish Dave, that's cool. Is Robin on a mission from God? We're on a mission from God. Only thing is, yeah, I got less than a quarter of a tank of gas right now. And there are no cigarettes because I'm a happy non-smoker and I can say things like fat dead Rush Limbaugh used to say, my friends, here... But here, between my formerly nicotine-stained fingers, I always remembered that line from Pink Floyd's The Wall, where he says, I got nicotine stains on my fingers, I got those swollen hand blues, I got 13 channels of shit on the TV to choose from. DJ Brain, what's a girl going to do? But we do have plenty to talk about. There's carryover from yesterday. But hell, in the grand scheme of a news cycle, that's so, well, yesterday. So we maybe pick up on some of that. Otherwise, we've got end of the week kind of news. I guess we have to say something about O.J. Simpson's passing. You can only say good about the dead. O.J. Simpson is dead. Good. Because his fuckery was another one of those moments where American media was again cheapened and driven toward the tawdry state in which it now exists. Oh, Irish Day, watch out for the Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis. Died of cancer at 76. We all know that now. So, whatever. But there was a news story that, I don't know, it might be anodyne. At this point, it's quotidian. Quotidian, I said. Stop it. A disgruntled man, and I'm thinking a number of people were seriously injured today when a disgruntled dude rammed a semi-tractor trailer into a Texas Department of Public Safety office in Brenham, Texas today. He's been arrested. The DPS office is completely, well, not completely, but really, really trashed. The Texas Strangers are investigating. But this is a symptom of a country that is drawn as taut as a banjo string and vibrating like a 448 struck tuning fork. Dude went to the DPS to get his CDL. For those of you who don't drive a commercial driver's license. If Clarence is listening, I know he knows exactly what's involved with that, or generally so, you know, from state to state. Hey, Arnold, where are you? I haven't heard from Arnold in a long time. Hope Arnold's okay. I thought of Arnold because I thought of Rick Smith because he's done his gazillions of miles over the road in a semi. It's hard work. And so this dude got denied his CDL yesterday. And according to Washington County, Texas Judge Mark Keogh, returned today with intent to harm. And in fact, used a semi-tractor trailer to ram that Department of Public Service building. Maybe I'm just a bitch. But it seems to me that if one has been denied one's CDL, the best way to prove that a mistake was made is not to drive one's tractor trailer into the building where the people who denied your CDL work. Maybe I've just got it all wrong, but I can too drive a tractor trailer In the immortal words of another Texan, George W. Bush, watch this drive. I hope the people who were seriously injured are able to receive medical treatment and heal. Thing is, being in Tate's ass, there's no guarantee of that. Because recall, Tate's ass has the largest uninsured population of any state in the nation. As to O.J., Lee in New York says, Keith Olbermann spoke of his opinion of O.J. I will remember O.J. from my first experience of a news report of a low-speed car chase. I wonder if he was thinking, they may get me for murder, but not speeding. My favorite joke to come out of all that whole kerfuffle was that when the APB went out, the cops went and immediately arrested John Elway because the APB was for a slow-moving white Bronco. I'll see myself to the door. But it's still funny all these years later because in the immortal words of Casey Kasem, John Elway on the move was ponderous, man. Ponderous. He got moving out of the hole like an old Mercedes-Benz five-cylinder diesel sedan engine. So we've got that. And then this... We have spoken from time to time about Fap Fap and Jin Jin and their owners, Har Har and Lee Lee, Harlan Crow and Leonard Leo. Well, the Judiciary Committee of the United States Senate issued a subpoena for Leonard Leo. And Leonard Leo, well, Leonard Leo says, who do they think they are? The constitutionally appointed or created Senate of the United States? The actual government? The nerve. I'm a fucking billionaire. Fuck off. Issuing a statement after he was subpoenaed to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee, he said, I'm not capitulating to this law of his, speaking of Dick Durbin, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, I'm not capitulating to his lawless support of Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and the left's dark money effort to silence and cancel political opposition. Cancel. Yeah. Lely thinks he's being canceled by simply being subpoenaed by a body duly appointed to issue such subpoenas. Well, Peter Navarro tried that. And Peter Navarro is cooling his heels in jail now. May it be so for Lely. Because Leo has been outed by outfits like ProPublica. But this is par for the course, I suppose. The Senate Judiciary Committee, by its own rules, voted and issued the subpoena not just for Lely, but for Har Har. You remember Har Har. Har Har is the principal owner of the timeshare known as the Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Fappy Thomas. Mm-hmm. And Har Har is a collector of Hitler memorabilia. Just a little reminder. As for his part, speaking to the Washington Post, Chairman Durbin said, since July 2023, Leonard Leo has responded to the legitimate oversight requests of the Senate Judiciary Committee with a blanket refusal to cooperate. His outright defiance of the committee left the committee with no other choice but to move forward with compulsory process. For that reason, I've issued a subpoena to Mr. Leo. In other words, they played nicely with Lee at first. And we're talking, remember, about billions upon billions of dollars that Lee has done, spent in advancement of American fascism. Caroline Ciccone, who presides over Accountable.us, said, thanks to Leo, a full-blown corruption crisis has plagued the high court for over a year, undermining its credibility. Today's subpoena is a critical step toward accountability and toward ensuring that our high court adheres to the highest possible ethical standards. As a result of the strong leadership of Chairman Durbin and the Judiciary Committee, we can now begin to get to the bottom of the corruption crisis pervading the Supreme Court. The Judiciary Committee can have a hearing, call witnesses, but most importantly, and one wonders if Chuck Schumer will greenlight it, I hope to heaven so, with caveats, of course, there are always caveats, but move to cite him for contempt of Congress. This is a Senate subpoena, a Senate committee subpoena. So Mullah Moses Mike Johnson, more on him in a little bit. Mullah Moses Mike Johnson over there in the House doesn't have a word to say about it. Here's what complicates matters. A vote to send a contempt recommendation to the Department of Justice will require a simple majority vote in the Senate. In other words, 51 yeas. In a Senate that has a Joe to the Mansion Bourne in it and a Curtsy and Kirsten Sinema in it, neither of whom are running for re-election, it might be impossible to get. And that is infuriating. This hearing has to come off, however, and it has to happen. Because the American people have got to have cataloged in with geometric precision and logical detail, in the words of Captain Queeg, who's going on trial on Monday. No, I mean Trump. All the instances of the corruption that plagues the Supreme Court of the United States, as corrupt or more corrupt now than it has ever been in its entire history. And that's saying something when you consider that there was a Supreme Court that issued Plessy v. Ferguson, and a Supreme Court that issued the Slaughterhouse cases, and a Supreme Court that issued Dred Scott, among others. And what Lee is scared to death of, and what Har is scared to death of, is the bright light, the antiseptic sunshine being shown on their dark money activities, running around buying politicians and particularly Supreme Court justices. So that's kind of a watch this space sort of thing. There was a bit of a victory, speaking of the Supreme Court of the United States, there was a bit of a victory today. It was a 9-0 ruling, which tells you that Thappy and Sammy Bad Breath and Neil Gorsuch and Beer Boofing Brat are, and the Handmaid, are worried. A man named Neil Bissonette, odd that the program started with a reference to a guy driving a tractor trailer. Well, this is a different driver. Neil Bissonette was a delivery driver, is a delivery driver for LePage Bakeries Park Street, which is a subsidiary of Flowers Foods, which happens to be the people, the corporation. Corporations are people, friend, are people, my friends, human beings. They bake Wonder Bread. You ever wonder why it's called Wonder Bread? Because it's a wonder that a human being can eat it and survive. Just my take. That's an unpaid product condemnation. Ugh. But Neil Bissonette sued and said that Flowers Foods, because this is one of the biggest anti-worker dodges in the entire United States, and the dodge exists because it's been allowed to exist. Neil Bissonette sued Flowers Foods because he said that Flowers Foods rips off their drivers by saying that they're independent contractors rather than employees. The difference between an independent contractor and an employee is significant. And in at least once upon a time, in places like, oh, here, because that's what I was taught, the difference between an independent contractor and an employee turns on questions of who has the right to control the details of the work, who sets the schedule. And that's almost always the company. And so if the so-called independent contractor can't do any of that or risks termination if they don't agree, well, maybe that person is not such an independent contractor after all. Well, in this Supreme Court case, the hitch is this. Companies like Flowers insist that people who work for them as independent contractors, because the other, you know, another great reason to call them independent contractors is because they're independent contractors, they got no business in a union. Well, they require their independent contractors to sign contract language that says that they agree that in the case of any disagreement between the employer and the contractor, that arbitration will be used as opposed to going to court, because in the eyes of the capitalists, the money, it's quicker to fuck over your workers in arbitration. Well, there is, in fact, a statute that goes back to 1925 called the Federal Arbitration Act, and it says that arbitration agreements have to be enforced according to their terms, but says that employment contracts of seamen, railroad employees, and any other class of workers engaged in foreign or interstate commerce are exempted. Now, back in 2001, the SCOTUS said, well, no, it doesn't really, it says that, but it's not what it means. It only applies to transportation workers. Which then led to more pettifogging and hair splitting over the question of, does that mean companies that provide transportation services, or does that mean workers who transport goods? So the Second United States Circuit Court of Appeals out of New York in 2022 said that that the LePage companies case with Mr. Bissonnette didn't apply because, and I'm pretty sure that Sammy Bad Breath came from the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Just trivia. They said that the LePage case didn't count because customers of the company were buying bread and not transportation services. Well, in turn, Neil Bissonnette said, LePage misclassifies their drivers who deliver baked goods to stores as independent contractors and deprives them of minimum wage, as well as overtime and other legal protections. Well, here's the fun part. In a 9-0 decision, our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties ruled in favor of Neil Bissonnette today. They threw out the Second Circuit's decision. And in fact, approved of the effort by Neil Bissonnette to certify a class for a class action lawsuit of all those similarly situated. We can file this under the general heading of even a blind hog finds an acorn now and then. We can also cross-file it under the right-wingers on the court are nervous. Because there's at least a decent chance, and look, dare to dream, y'all. We've been saying this for a while, dare to dream. Joe Biden reelected, Democrats in control in the House. We're so close to that, I can taste it. And Democrats in control of the Senate, we might actually see some Supreme Court reform go through. Which, going back to Lili and Harhar, they ain't helping with because they're self-determined immunity makes them look really, really bad. I said it kind of sucks, and Flavia said it really sucks when billionaires can run circles around the rule of law. It's fucking infuriating, but I need to keep my blood pressure down. Well, I'm trying to help, Flavia. If I say it kind of sucks, that means it really does suck, but without me having to start yelling and screaming and carrying on. Because I try not to raise blood pressure because, well, this program also has a podcast audience who doesn't like to be screamed at as I'm putting them to sleep every evening. Because I do that. Leah New York said, employee or independent contractor, can the company offload costs to others? Make the company expenses and risks into entries on the independent contractor's balance sheet every chance they get. Yeah. And if they're not getting minimum wage, as Mr. Bissonnette alleges, stop for a minute and think, well, what are they getting? Are they getting a lump sum that works out to less than minimum wage because, in fact, the employer does control the details and hours of the work? And by the time you divide the hours worked into the money paid, it's less than minimum wage? That seems likely. Or something that's still done, here. Every driver who drives one of these great behemoth, often overloaded coal trucks that reduce our roads to gravel here in almost level West by coal Manchinistan. We'll have to change that not too distant future. Those trucks are driven by men, mostly, who are not paid a wage. They are paid by the mile to drive the coal from the prep plant or from the mine site itself to the prep plant or from the prep plant say depot. And so the only way they can make any money is by driving lots and lots of miles. Frankly, payment by the mile should be illegal. It should be a violation of the National Labor Relations Act. But, you know, there I am being a commie or something, I guess. Whatever. And in those circumstances, the sweet and benevolent and kind and generous coal companies sell the coal trucks to the independent contractor drivers, who then have to make payments on the coal truck and do all the maintenance on the coal trucks. And by the time they have it paid for, it's worn out. What a racket, right? I'm guessing LePage actually owns all those trucks that say Wonder Bread on it. So that militates more in favor of the Supreme Court having it gotten it right by a 9-0 vote. God, LePage's lawyers must have really sucked. Or you wonder what is it about the case that made Fappy and Sammy Bad Breath and Ann's Boy Neil and Beer Boofin' Brat and the Handmaid to sign on. So the arbitration thing may go the... Eventually, except in the most limited of circumstances, arbitration needs to go the way of the dodo. And Lee in New York says, paid by the mile, please note that waiting is free to the company who hired the contract. Yeah, right. If the wheels ain't turning, you ain't earning. I just came up with that. Darlene in Connecticut with a question. Isn't so-called independent Merrick Garland a Federalist Society member? He won't have the guts to go after Leonard Leo should he defy a congressional subpoena. Leo is the nexus for everything filthy on the SCOTUS. He's way too valuable to Republican maggots. Peter Navarro was an easy sacrifice. We all know and have seen how our legal system is selective about who it punishes, right? Trump, no. Navarro, yes. Jack It Off Jordan, no. Mike Cohen, yes. Leonard Leo will be a no. Reality Winter, hell yes. And the injustice spin the bottle goes on. Ah, but Darlene, I'm not so sure about the Trump part. Granted, it's just the hush money election interference case, but it kind of blows my mind that today is Friday, and his first criminal trial begins on Monday. Monday, 9 o'clock. That means, well, I guess he'll have to be up at 4 or 5 and probably be triping away at Tripe Social while he's sitting there getting his hair plastered in place. Recall that Iwanka, my daddy, Trump Kushner, said in the past it takes about 2 hours just to do his hair. We don't know about the cosmetic routine. That orange. Ugh. But barring a real surprise, he's going to trial on Monday. And I just want us to, I want us to take a moment to appreciate what that's going to look like, even though we're not going to be allowed to see it. We might get some photographs. We might get some courtroom sketch artistry. But the fact remains, he's going to have to sit there through jury selection. And then he's going to have to sit there during opening statements. Oh, well, thank you, Lee in New York. That's awfully kind. Give yourself a llama bell. If the wheels ain't turning, you ain't earning. We need more llama bells, more cowbells. They're llama bells now. And we need a name for the llama, the sweet little silver llama that Tom and Sunny San Rafael sent. She is right here in front of me. She sits on top of the old audio compressor that we haven't used since, like, I don't know, the first term of the Obama administration. It probably needs to go to its long home. Because there's a day coming when we're going to clean out Roxanne's home for wayward hardware. And that's one of the things that's going to go. But anyway, the llama, and she needs a name that begins with L, is right there, and she's looking right at me. I like to think that she's being approving and not judging. But thanks for that. So, no kidding. Anytime beginning Monday and Monday through Thursday for the next several weeks, there could be that moment that we have predicted when your news feed and mine and your alerts on your mobile device and my alerts on my mobile device may very well say, Trump carried out of courtroom on stretcher, frothing and shrieking and twitching. Because remember the words of the sage of South Carolina, Stan, our dear friend Todd, when he said, y'all, he ain't gonna make it. And I think even people like Mary Trump are in agreement. Her uncle does not have the self-control, does not have the self-awareness to be able to sit quietly as, say, a prosecuting attorney, patiently and carefully and point by pointedly lays out all the filthy things he did in this case alone. The tawdry details of his sexual escapades with Stephanie Clifford, also known as Stormy Daniels, or Karen McDougal, whose heart he broke. And who thought that she might be the next Mrs. Trump. And Hopi Hicks will be testifying. Hopi, whom he groomed, whom he relied upon, who is now going to swear to tell the truth and sit in the chair and drop dimes all over the courtroom on him. And he will sit there and he will vibrate. And unless they have him medicated into the next decade, his blood pressure will go up and up and up. And eventually, we'll probably see the purple coming through the orange. Good God, he'll look like a Clemson uniform. Orange and purple. And I don't know about you, but I'm here for it. Let's run off to Colorado for a minute. Again, this is not of any earth-shaking importance, but just another indication of where we are here in the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, Merca. Amen. Introducing Don Wilson, representing Don Wilson of the Colorado House of Representatives. Don Wilson, a maggot, who went on to X and posted an excrement saying, yeah, I done it. I want to be clear that I take full and complete accountability for the incident.
I made a mistake, and I'm very sorry. Because Don Wilson left a loaded 9mm Glock handgun. I wonder if his is pink. In a restroom in the Capitol this past Tuesday evening. I take firearm safety very seriously. And this here has been a humbling experience. A loaded Glock 9mm pistol, semi-automatic, with a capacity of anywhere from 9 to 17 rounds, had been just laying there on the counter in the bathroom for 23 minutes before the janitorial staff came in for the regular mop-up and went, holy shit, there's a freedom protector here, and they contacted the Capitol, the state patrol, who showed up, and about an hour later, this legislative Solon, Don Wilson, contacted the state police and said, I want to report I left an item in the restroom. And this would have fit nicely in Thorn in the Side Thursday, because this is where the thorn comes in, because the Colorado State Police said, oh, okay, here's your gun back. And I guess the excuse is, well, the building was closed to the public then. And the Colorado State Patrol said, well, he didn't violate any state rules, and no criminal charges are being considered, said the Colorado State Patrol, usurping the power of any prosecutor. But it probably isn't anything can be done, because that's freedom. That's America. Julie McCluskey, Speaker of the House, it is controlled by Democrats, said the consequences of leaving a firearm unattended in a public space could be very serious, and the incident this week created a dangerous situation. And so now the Colorado House is considering something called a sensitive spaces bill that would ban firearms in the Capitol for everybody with the exception of the cops. House Majority Leader Monica Duran, how about that? Women in the two principal power positions in the majority in the Colorado House. I kind of like that. House Majority Leader Monica Duran said that Representative Wilson said he won't bring no more guns into the Capitol building. And apparently this is a thing that happens in the Colorado Capitol, because it was 2022 when another state representative maggot named Richard Holtorf there now, can't help myself, was running to vote on the in the House chamber and accidentally, he dropped his freedom protector as he went to go and vote. Because you never know, I mean, you don't want to vote without a hog leg on your hip, because you never know when the MS-13 ISIS, terrorists are going to come busting through the doors, and you're going to have to defend freedom there while you're voting on, I don't know, whether kids can have lunch in school. It's a beautiful thing. We learned a little bit more about the case in... wait a minute, let me see here. Randy Radar said the cost of arbitration may have just increased tenfold for the plaintiff, from hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars, according to new legislation. Well, but he's not going to have to arbitrate now. Trump on trial, Lee in New York, says, we all know that what the indicted idiot will look like in the courtroom. Imagine him being told, eat your vegetable or no social media. That's exactly what he will look like. Yeah, that pouty scowl where he crosses his arms in front of him like Ed Sullivan, only there's no really big shoe. Darlene in Connecticut said, my blood is boiling over my taxes. I paid through the nose, ears, and every other orifice because my business rebounded. I was socked so bad that any headway I made in my savings was completely wiped out and then some. And yet, how much did Trump pay in, what was it, 2015? $750? This year, I had to pay 2,105% more than Trump paid. And I want to see how much Leon Scum paid. How about Trump? How about Iwanka and her creepy-ass husband, Jeff Bezos, the Berkshire Hathaway old dude, Warren Buffett? Oh, how about $20 million man there on CNN, Anderson Cooper? AC loves his millions. I am pissed, Darlene says, because most of what I paid was for Social Security, as I'm my own employer, and Republican maggots want to strip me of even that, what I earned and paid into to reap later. Even then, I don't know if I'll live long enough to collect Social Security. I'm being fleeced. I know it. I can't do shit about it. Sorry, don't think Trump will ever go to jail. That would just be too good to be true for this, our America. I know you don't think he will. I hope you're wrong. Because unless he does, this country is going to not get over it, not be okay. And it's worrisome. It speaks to the absolute question of whether we will have a country to save. But what I was saying is Walt Nauta's FBI interview got unsealed down in Florida per the order of Alien Cannon. And it's interesting. A pair of FBI agents asked him if he was leaving out any details because of his loyalty to the Orange God Emperor. When they were moving boxes hither and thither and yon to try to keep the feds from finding them. At one point in time, they tried to say that some of the boxes were filled with hoarded old cans of hairspray. Even if that's partially true, still doesn't speak well of him. That's kind of like Howard Hughes keeping jars of pee-pee all around his hotel room. Yeah, that was creepy. Over at Politico, their senior legal affairs reporter, Kyle Cheney, said they clearly had some doubts about his veracity, whether he'd been coached in his answers. They repeatedly emphasized that he had apparently misled Trump to meet with the FBI. Alien Cannon, for her part, did at least order the names of the FBI agents redacted so that some maggot couldn't try to murder them. The FBI agent in the interview says, you've been left to answer very uncomfortable questions by the FBI, not the people giving the orders. This is the good cop part of the interview. So thinking about that, if there's anything you want to answer differently or anything else that you think we should know, and, we're more than welcome to step out of the room and give you some time. And I have to at least give a little bit of props to the pettifogger for Walt Nauta. He said said to the FBI agents, it seems like you're all trying to get at something, and I'm not sure that our side of the table is picking up on it. I'm confused. I think Walt's probably confused. I don't know why, but that just kind of made me... I didn't giggle, but I grinned quietly to myself. I said we would have more on Mullah Moses Mike Johnson in a minute, and this is that minute. Talk about being between a rock and a hard place. He managed to cobble together enough Republican votes so that the Democrats working with him would reauthorize FISA today. And I realize FISA is problematic in some of its aspects. But this particular section isn't one of the more problematic ones. Nitwit Nero had told his pet maggots in the House not to support it. And apparently Nitwit Nero isn't particularly good at counting things. But that much they got done. Now it falls to Mullah Moses Mike, who, by the way, went down to kiss the ring in Florida today. And to announce a new bill to correct a problem that isn't a problem. If he wasn't so odious and such a vulgar theocrat, it would be easy to, well, almost feel sorry for him having to abase himself before his orange graven image. But they were due to announce a brand new law, brand new federal law to stop the illegals from voting. There's only one problem. That law already exists. It is not legal for an undocumented immigrant to vote in any federal election at all. Only citizens can vote. But oh well. So the next big lift for Mullah Moses Mike, and he realizes that he's kind of putting his head in the same place that Marie Antoinette eventually had to put hers, because Marginal Trailer Queen is swearing that if any Ukraine aid goes onto the floor of the House, that she'll move to vacate the speaker. And according to Steve Scalise, Mullah Moses Mike has been talking with folks at the White House about a package to provide some level of funding and aid to Ukraine, as well as, of course, Israel. The thing is, though, he's unwilling to simply put the package that the Senate has already passed onto the floor of the House, because the delicate tightrope that is strung over a vast field of sharp, nasty spikes, a pit, if you will. Well, he needs some degree of Republican cooperation from his own carcass. Scalise telling the press, there's been no agreement reached. Obviously, there would have to be an agreement reached, to not just with the White House, but with our own members. Kind of underselling that last part. And so what they want to do is come up with their own bill. Sleazy, cheap bastards. They're saying, among other things, that they want to make some of the funding loans to Kyiv. And they want the U.S. to just give Kyiv frozen Russian central bank assets. But, of course, they've also got other things on their little weird wish list. They want to jack up and restart liquefied natural gas exports. And, of course, the southern border. Representative Don Bacon, who has at least earned for himself the moniker of being like a stopped clock, right twice a day, said, "This becomes more dangerous world, a more dangerous world with Russia in Kyiv. So we're just going to find the smart way to get a bill passed that we can get out and get back to the Senate." Thing is, the minute that that thing hits the floor, Sportfoot is going to put her Sportfoot right up Mullah Moses Mike Johnson's ass, or at least has threatened so to do. Hakeem Jeffries, for his part, is saying, no, let's just vote on the Senate bill. That way, we pass it, and it's done. And then said, you know, we say it here, it comes out there. He then said, listen, you do that, and we'll help you keep your gavel. Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Mullah Moses Mike? No word on whether he'll bite. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said yesterday on the floor of the Senate, if we want to prevent handing Putin a victory in Europe, the House should do the right thing for democracy and pass the Senate's aid package now. And meanwhile, President Biden has issued a stern warning, what it's worth, to Psycho Bibi over in Israel. Telling that nutcase that further U.S. support is going to depend on Israel not slaughtering quite so many Palestinian civilians and aid workers in Gaza. And here's a moment of dumb. Earlier this week, of course, we had the eclipse on the 8th. And according to Google, in the aftermath of Monday's solar eclipse, searches for eye-related injuries have jumped. And at least, and according to, you know, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, well, Dr. Jeanette Nishiwat said, I had several patients come in panicking saying, I don't want to go blind. Dr. Nishiwat said, I couldn't believe it. People actually looked at the eclipse without protection. Doc, please. This is Merca, honey. We can't get people to engage in sex with protection. So I guess you could say that this is sort of a statistical inference about the number of dipshits in the country. The Google searches for hurt eyes and why do my eyes hurt after the eclipse? It shot up after the eclipse was over. Dr. Nishiwat, though, said that she treated up to 8 patients who came in to the office where she works near Madison Square Garden. And one patient said that they looked at the sun either directly or through their phone for about 10 minutes. And she said the damage can be irreversible if the retina is severely damaged by looking at the at it without proper eye protection. Some people may have mild symptoms if the exposure to the sun was brief. Oh, America. What a country, right? Well, we are into the second hour of the program. It's time to go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves. The elves have been pleasantly quiet of late. We've been trying to keep up with our obligatory Star Trek references, and hopefully they'll remain happy. Gun safety, Frank. Says, did State Representative Don Wilson of Colorado have his trigger lock properly installed on his Freedom Protector? Of course not. That ain't freedom, Frank. Firearm in the bathroom, Lee in New York said, we all know why this is acceptable. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. That's generally how it works. There we go. I think we are connected into the old holler tree. Lee in New York said, the eclipse eyes must be safe. 45 did it. Oh. But then again, he's protected by stupidity. Emilio, damn right you have to defend freedom while voting. Otherwise, the MS-13 Jade Helms ISIS terrorists might vote to give those deadbeat children those school lunches after all. Is that what you want, Kincaid? Yeah, those MS-13 Jade Helms ISIS terrorists might also let the women folk control their own... No, wait a minute. We're talking about ISIS here. Never mind. So, like I said, we got $1,300 in fundraising to do this evening. I hope we can knock out some of it, because in addition to me having to travel, there's still more bills, and April is a brutal month. What? A country? Randy Radar says Lucy the Llama as an indirect Star Trek reference? Possible llama names. Tom in sunny San Rafael suggests Leia, Lana, Lara. It will not be Lara, Tom. Lara. She's busy running the RNC. Larissa, Laura, Lena, Lydia, Liliana, Lola. Wait a minute. I think there's some potential for Lola there. L-O-L-A, Lola. And we know why. Lolita, no. Lorena, definitely not. Lord, Madonna's got that one covered. Lucero, mm-mm. Lucia, man. Luciana, Louisa. Oh, wait, I think I just came up with it. Luzetta. Luzetta the Llama. My great-grandmother's name. Although Lola... I don't know, maybe we'll take a vote. Luzetta or Lola? Luzetta the Llama or Lola the Llama? Either one will be acceptable. Okay. Anyway, we'll try to raise some of the funds this evening so that we don't have a whopping ginormous fundraising hole come Tuesday. Monday will not be included in the fundraising goal because I'm not going to be here. That's on me. But at any rate, let's run over to the old holler tree and check in with a little Mouseketeer roll call. Hey, Roger.
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Yep, you are.
I just had to unmute.
No worries. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Getting work done in the garden.
Well, I missed some of the drama. What went on with, apparently we had a brain infestation in the chat room earlier this week?
Yeah, and my usual thing is I put the headphones on and leave everything up and keep an ear open and that kind of stuff and check the screen. And he'd bounce in and out. I managed to catch him once, and his IP went to T-Mobile out of Pennsylvania. But I was hoping to catch him again and write down the IP number, and maybe I can figure out what T-Mobile IT IP number, what the last two sets of digits, and maybe eliminate him that way. I don't know. It's just a matter of me actually being in front of the screen when he pops in, because it's like a three-step process to kick somebody out.
We actually have a method to ban him permanently with one click of a button. Problem is, if you do it, it will take out all the other guest users that try to come through. You have two ways to come into this group. You can come in on your main account or as a guest account like Ben used to do. There's a confusion there. If you come in on the guest account when we block guest accounts, you will not be able to come in the group. It's a private group in that case.
We're talking about the chat room, Jeremy.
We're talking the Rumble chat room, not the
Skype. My bad. I missed. Okay. Hey, never mind.
No worries. Oh, we have an update to the naming contest real quick. And I got to tell you, I like this. Matt in San Francisco, I think you found the solution. I was partial to Hedy Lamarr, like the actress. It's Hedley. We may have a winner there. Any thoughts? Okay, well, at least I'm entertained.
I would let that go to whatever way it goes. I've got no pony in that race.
Or llama.
My one thought here is this Leonard Leo rejecting a Senate subpoena.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't his sorry little ass simply arraigned and charged and put on trial for violating a senatorial subpoena?
Doesn't work that way.
Give him, I don't know, 30, 60, 90 days in some kind of federal penitentiary. And maybe he can get to know the ropes so he can teach him to Donnie when Donnie shows up.
That's a lovely thought, but it doesn't work like that where contempt of Congress is concerned. Because the full Senate, the Judiciary Committee would have to recommend contempt. The full Senate would have to vote on the contempt recommendation. If it passes, then it goes into the hands of Merrick the Meek. Who did it? And Merrick the Meek is, as Darlene pointed out, a member of the Federalist Society.
This country's in a world of fucking hurt.
Yeah, What's going on, everybody?
Of our own making. Oh, sorry. That's okay. Hey, Kevin.
No, go ahead. Continue.
No, I was going to say of our own making, but it's not of our own making. It is of the billionaires, by the billionaires, and for the billionaires.
Yeah. I got a letter from Trader Tot this week.
Did you?
Yeah. First time unsolicited Republican mailing I ever got. Well, I mean, you know, for Trump. Trump related. Yeah. Said from the desk of what kind of desk he has, Donald Trump Jr. Wait a minute.
Well, while Kevin is looking, one little thing to mention.
Hey, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Trader Tot. Yeah, said for the desk of Donald Trump Jr. And was from, do you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was from a congressional Republican committee. It wasn't actually from Donald Trump Jr. So I looked at the back of the
They never are.
Yeah, they never are. Yeah, but, you know, usual stuff, you know. We gotta get rid of the Pelosi, Biden, Obama coalition, whatever.
No, but see, what's important, Kevin, is never was, and you say never are. But you got to remember Emory and Marvelline sitting there in their matching Barca loungers in their single wide at the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Court. They think it's actually from Donald J. Look here, look Marvelline, look here. That fine young man, that young Donald Trump Jr. done sent us an email.
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, I see him all the time delivering mail, as you can imagine. I mean, I don't have, you know, where I deliver, I don't have a lot of Republican customers. I mean, you can count them on two hands.
Lucky you.
I mean, seriously. Yeah, definitely. But
we're getting desperate, Kevin. I got a letter from Ron Paul via the NRA a couple weeks ago, a nice little envelope.
Really?
Never owned a gun, never been a member of the NRA.
Ron or Randy?
Rand Paul via the NRA.
Okay, you said Ron. I didn't even know if Ron was able to even talk anymore or anything. So it's Randy Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist.
Yeah, it was Rand Paul via the NRA. Yes.
Freedom, Wolverines.
Like I said, never owned again, never been a member.
Well, so I mean, you realize why, right?
They're desperate.
Well, yeah, they just got their fucking clock cleaned by Letitia James.
Twice.
Yeah, and you know.
Not once, twice.
They may go fucking broke.
She got him once and came back for seconds, only bigger the second time.
It's, yeah, kind of like E. Jean Carroll, you know? It's better the second time around.
I wish she'd go for a third round.
Oh, she may yet. I think that's going to be a strategic decision, Roger.
Because he did it again.
Yeah, and have y'all been following the business of this bond?
Oh, yeah. This is good. Letitia James might have start sending your rent payments to the state of New York a lot sooner than Donnie thought that it was going to happen.
Well, the thing is, Sterling or whatever that, I'm sorry, it's not Sterling, Knight Specialty Insurance Company apparently has money squirreled away in the Cayman Islands, which would effectively prevent Letitia James from being able to get at the money because the Cayman Islands will not, the Cayman Islands is blue water Switzerland.
And then I came across something, I don't remember all the details of it, is they've posted the $74-75 billion bond or something of that sort with a caveat that if he loses the appeal, they're not going to pay the 175. It's going to be up to Donnie to come up with the money and not them.
Right. So
and Donnie said the same thing.
It's the thing is, in other words, at that point, it ain't a bond.
No, it's a fraudulent piece of paper. It's an attempt at fraud against the state of New York.
And
at least that's how I read it.
Yeah, and the Daily Beast did a piece on it where they said former industry regulators and investigators told the Daily Beast that Knight Specialty Insurance Company, being financially backed by a firm based in the Cayman Islands, should raise eyebrows at the New York AG's office, particularly because companies frequently organize in the Cayman Islands not just to avoid taxes, but also to minimize visibility into its business practices, avoid more stringent U.S. regulations, and make liability harder should things go wrong. So with all that being the case, shouldn't she be, I mean, saying what she should or should not do is certainly not her province. But it seems like one might expect her to march indignantly into the courthouse and say, hold on a damn minute. The guy who used to oversee the California insurance market, a guy named Dave Jones, said, this thing stinks to high heaven. Taken in its totality, this dog does not hunt. Along every step of the way, this purported bond is problematic. It's just one issue after another that calls into question whether this bond could ever possibly satisfy the judgment.
Well, I'm forgetting my timeline here. The first one was 454, and then he got it reduced and got an extension. And then...
Well, you've got it kind of backwards there. It was 464, and then he shopped it around. Nobody would bite. So then he got a 10-day extension, and at the last minute, he came up with these clowns. And Judge Ngoron said to Letitia James, you've got a right to object. I want to see your objections, and I'll hold a hearing the same day. And I haven't heard of it. Did I miss any further rulings after that?
I think Letitia James put a notice saying he had to pay by today, or she was going to start seizing his assets.
I thought he had until Monday.
The hearing's Monday, but I think she said till she had today to post the bond to stop her from going after his assets. After that, she starts.
Well, I sure hope they get the chain and put a padlock on a few things.
And I don't know if you guys, the whole group in general, have heard some of the details of the guy who he went to for this bond. Obviously, he's a junk bond salesman. He goes after people who can't afford the bonds and kills them with interest. Two stories distinctly stuck out from when I covered this guy in the news. One of the loans he gave a company was for 175% APR. To the loan itself. The other company had 200% APR against their loan. They had to make daily payments so he wouldn't foreclose them.
And he also got a whole lot of money by, I think it was making car loans to risky people and then used the little box on the steering column that you can remotely shut the car off.
Well, the thing though is that Roger, you said you hope Letitia James starts, using some chains and padlocks. She may do that, but the first move she'll make will be to go after his bank accounts. And
but you and I both know he doesn't have $454 million or $174 million sitting in cash at Bank of America.
No, he doesn't. But here's the thing. If she zeroes out his bank accounts, he can't run Bed Monster. He can't run Mogaloco. He can't run his tacky golf motel at Doral. He can't run anything. He can't make payroll. He has no operating expenses. And the more I read about this, the more it feels like they have upped their stoke the stroke game through the roof. Because if, in fact, all of this shit is beginning on Monday at the same time that he's sitting down to pick a jury, knowing full well that he's going to, as I've said, have to sit there and listen to a litany of his filthy, perverted, whoremongering sins, I think maybe I'm wrong. But I think we're getting closer and closer to the plaid blanket and the wheelchair and the oatmeal dribbling down his too long red silk tie.
Well, it'll either be that or the straitjacket. I can see him just losing control totally. And the judge sending him off to a room to watch the proceedings via closed circuit TV.
Because the one thing that his handlers can't do is let him have his morning dose of speed.
The other thing that broke this weekend, which is probably annoying him, and he knows the truth because he lies, but hard to tell sometimes if he believes in lies or he just says them to say them. But remember how he bragged that he made $50 million at his little Mar-a-Lago tent scheme? Well, the truth came out. He had to say those were pledges. Nobody actually gave him money. It all hinges on if he's convicted or not.
Pledges or wagers?
Pledges, saying, yeah, we'll give you this, but no one actually gave him any money last week. Like they, but he said he raised $50 million. It was pledges. It wasn't actually donations. It was kind of like PBS saying, I'll give you this for that. But no one actually gave him any money. He raised like $3 million in total that day, they say.
And he's got problems squirreling it away and figuring out where to squirrel it, where he can still get at it, but at least in theory keep Letitia James from getting at it. And I think she's a lot smarter than his pettifoggers. And by the way, no, Brother Deacon Asa, no, she will not be Labia the Llama. Quit it. You. What are we going to do about him? Molon Labe. No, not that either.
I think the funniest story that happened this week, though, is his lawyers, you know, best in the world that he can hire, made another fairly big fuck-up this week. They went after, they tried to subpoena the prosecutor in the $460 million judgment to cross-examine with him or something like that. I forget what his name was, but it was a... I'm pretty sure he was a Jewish religion by the name. Rosenberg, I think, was his name. So they subpoenaed, I think his name was John Rosenberg or something like that. John Rosenberg showed up, but it was the wrong John Rosenberg.
Oh, yeah. They subpoenaed the wrong guy who showed up in court and says, I don't have anything for you.
And they were pissed at him and tried to hold him in contempt because he wouldn't give them something they didn't have. And the judge kind of laughed it out of court and said, you're dismissed.
I love it when these people are terrible. I mean, they're just really, really bad at the whole lawyering thing. But then again, they have an indefensible client. Oh, by the way, I just had a note from Charlene in Rogues Island. For this Friday on the front porch, in an effort to facilitate a community-made miracle, Charlene said, here's a $150 challenge, and if the Horn Family Community Congregation can meet it tonight, I'll kick in 50 more. So we're at the halfway point of the program, and it's been a brutal beginning of April, these first 2 weeks. We've got a chance to knock down the fundraising goal by $350, which would get us down to $950, which is a really, really big deal. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. So hopefully we can get that taken care of fairly quickly. And by the way, I had a note from Dave in the Blind. The juice is getting squeezed in hell and other stuff. Oh, dear. Hey, gang. Simpson didn't die soon enough. Just ask his ex-wife and Ron Goldman. I'm beginning to get really worried about his kids. How fucked up are they going to be? Or should I say, how fucked up are they? Are they already? There's nothing normal about that man's life and nothing good I can say. So I'll say there is a spot open on the celebrity plane crash that I've been planning for the last 3 decades. Sorry, juice. We need the seat. Wait, Dave and the Blind celebrity plane crash? What? That sounds like the bit that got the Prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, banned from Letterman forever. He had a bit where he came, and this was before the advent of reality television. He came on the Letterman show and said, hey, I've been signed on to do a new TV show. I'm all excited. It's called Let's Hunt and Kill Billy Ray Cyrus. And apparently that was not okay. But I don't know. Dave and the Blind Celebrity Plane Crash sounds pretty... Okay, Dave.
I got a short OJ story for you.
Yeah.
It was about June of 1967, I believe it is. My sister got married in San Francisco, and my aunt was in charge of the preparations for the wedding, and she hired a caterer to deal with the reception. And lo and behold, it was OJ's father who was the owner of the catering business, and OJ was a waiter at my sister's wedding.
And everybody lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, but, you know, this was back in 67, so, you know, he was still, I think he was still in high school at the time. Anyhow. Everybody's only 2 degrees removed from some kind of celebrity, and that's my association to OJ. I wasn't at the wedding. I was over on Guam, so I'm early removed from it.
I'm a Ringo Starr once.
Well.
Sorry.
I only saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show. So what's going on with the Florida trial?
Kind of hard. It's kind of hard to get a handle on it. It's like there's a different take every day.
Because the last I heard, Jack Smith was getting pissed.
Oh, I think that's right.
And wrote a response to her that intimated that if she didn't start doing her shit correctly, he was headed off to the 11th Circuit for 3 strikes and you're out number, having to do with the proposed jury instructions allowing Presidential Records Act to be employed to find him not guilty. With the espionage charge, which is what he's got, and that there's no relationship between Presidential Records Act and the Espionage Act. And to bring the Presidential Records Act into the trial is a moot point, and it has no bearing on the case. And then I hadn't heard anything more.
Well, I know she's got a motion before her to dismiss some of the charges against his co-defendants, the obstruction charges. She was expected to issue a ruling today on Walt Nauta and Carlos de Oliveira and their obstruction of justice charges.
If they, I think they're the attorneys that reported to the archives that everything had been returned, is my understanding.
Well,
and it was proven that they weren't.
One of the claims is that the charges are too vague. Another claim is that Jack Smith hasn't been able to prove that any obstruction De Oliveira engaged in affected the investigation. That's not the statutory definition, I don't think. But Jack Smith countered and said that the request by the two schmucks, patsies, to order a document called a Bill of Particulars, it's a thinly veiled attempt, according to Jack Smith, to get the government to disclose its trial strategy. Oh, by the way, this is funny. Since we were talking about the thing coming on Monday, the trial beginning, Nitwit Nero said today, when questioned at a press conference at MAGA-Loco, do you plan to testify in your trial in New York? And he said,
yeah, I would testify. That's not a trial. That's a scam.
That's 34 of the counts is what that is.
Another one of his lawyers quit, I heard.
I think so, yeah.
Forget the guy's name, but I think he had to do with more with the documents case.
Well, last night on MSNBC, there was a discussion about a possible ploy that on Monday morning, he shows up and he's all by himself because I don't have a lawyer and I need time to get a new lawyer. So I need, you know, more time to do that. So the trial can't start today. And there was some discussion about at this stage, it basically requires the judge to agree that the attorneys quit or agree that they get fired or something of that sort. And if the judge really wanted to play hardball, he could say, no, you're his attorneys. You sit here. You do your job. And I really didn't understand how that all would work.
Lay that out again, Roger.
The idea was that we know Donnie's modus operandi is delay, 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 delay.
Yeah.
And at this point, about the only option he would have to try and delay the trial would be if his attorneys quit or he fired them and goes into court and says he needs to have counsel. He doesn't have counsel right now, and he needs time to get counsel. But at this stage of the proceedings, apparently if he becomes attorneyless, the judge would have to play some part in releasing the attorneys from defending Trump.
Absolutely. The judge has that power. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that was attempted, and a judge can look at that and say, this is just done being done for purposes of undue delay. And it's and Trump could say he wants to fire them, but he could also inquire of the lawyers, among other things, and say, you know, you've been fired. Have you filed a motion to be relieved as counsel before this court? And I'd be surprised if that works at this late stage of the game, because he's been happy with them all along. Now, on the other hand, Roger, if they show up and say, you know, Your Honor, we need to be relieved as counsel, and then they have an in-chambers conversation. You know, the guy's stiffing us. He's not paying us. And even then, the judge can look at him and say, well, boys, you knew who he was. And girls, y'all signed on. You've got an agreement. You can try to enforce it later. We're going to go pick a jury.
I sure hope that the judge has the backbone. I don't want to get sexist here and use body parts other than a backbone.
Thank you.
But I would hope the judge has a backbone and say, no, this thing's been drug on, drug on, drug on, drug on, and the state is ready to proceed. The defendant is in the courtroom, and we're proceeding. I mean, I just hope that's what happens.
Oh, I think Judge Marchand is not everything I've read about him says he's no bullshit.
Because it's time for something to happen.
Yeah, and what's going to happen is a trial.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. But these delay, 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 delay. And, you know, like nothing can happen in Georgia while there's a trial going on in New York. So.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting if I don't know whether the trial is going to go 4 days, 5 days a week in New York. But if the trial were to go 4 days a week in New York, and then for Fawny to start doing 1 day a week trials down in Georgia.
Now, they will try to stagger them out. And remember, Fawny Willis still has a request in for a trial date this summer.
Well, I just want to see this get started. I'm just tired of waiting.
I understand. And so we've got all weekend to pop the popcorn and get the keg and or just watch our news feeds for the oatmeal dribbling photo.
Do you really think he would have the I don't see him doing the wheelchair with the checkered blanket and dribbling oatmeal. Because if he did that, all of a sudden his bitching about Biden's age becomes a totally moot point. And the Republicans would have to come up with a different nominee if he was in the wheelchair dribbling oatmeal.
He would have to remove himself or be replaced at the convention.
Yeah, I realize nothing will officially happen till the convention. Although there are still a few primaries to go, I'm not sure about filing deadlines and that kind of thing. But in all reality, the Republican National Committee would either have to say, oh, no, he's still going to be our candidate because he'll get over this. This is just a little temporary blimp, which would be an admission of him faking it to try and con the judicial system, or he truly is a basket case. It's one or the other. If the Republicans don't go, we got to find somebody else if he pulls that. It just would really show me the complete hypocrisy and I mean, it would be laid out for more people to see how totally corrupt the Republican Party is if he pulls off the wheelchair stunt and continues to run for president.
I don't think anything is off the table.
Well, I'm agreeing he might pull the stunt, but what I'm saying is that the ramifications of pulling that stunt would almost be he'd have to throw in the towel on running for president. If he's incompetent to stand trial, how the hell can he be competent to be president? I mean, just as a logical discussion.
Well, they're different animals. There are no competency standards for the president. There are competency standards for trial, but not for president.
I realize that's the technicality of it.
That's not the technicality. That's the reality.
Yeah, but we have been hearing for years about how Joe Biden is too old and he's too senile. And he needs help getting up and downstairs, and he sniffs little girls' hair, and all kinds of reasons why Joe Biden is unfit to be president, even though he rides a bicycle and walks around just fine. And I don't know. I think he's probably still shooting hoops with Barack, but that whole line of Republican propaganda regarding Joe Biden's incompetence, if Trump were to pull the wheelchair stunt, how could they continue in any way, shape, or form to run him as a candidate when he is showing more mental and physical decline than Joe Biden? Or are the Republicans just in such a cult that they can't see the logic?
Well, look, I mean, just by way of example, yesterday went off. He was giving a speech and he went off on the Attorney General. He said, he referred to her as Letitia Jones.
This is being run by Biden. They put a man into the state, Letitia Jones, peekaboo, I call her, peekaboo Jones, peekaboo. They put a man into that one to Letitia. They put a man into that one to run it, and he went to the DA's office.
Okay, so that's Exhibit 1. Exhibit 2 is an image he posted on Tripe Social today that shows him with Jesus standing behind him. He's sitting and Jesus is kind of leaning over his shoulder looking at him. The wheels are coming off.
Was it a white Jesus or a dark Jesus?
Do you need to ask?
Well, I just...
I mean...
Inquiring minds.
He's got his hands on Trump's shoulders and it says, "Strengthen him, Lord. Send legions of angels to protect him, Father." And one of his pet maggot journalists said to Simon Ataba of Africa Today said, he called on Jesus Christ to strengthen him ahead of trial in New York and various other attacks from the left. So now we go to a maggot. This comes from CNN. Donnie O'Sullivan at CNN went out to do person on the streets interviews with Trump supporters, and, well, get the hockey puck, because this resulted.
Donald Trump to Jesus Christ. And now church leaders are fighting back. CNN's Donnie O'Sullivan explores what's going on.
Your T-shirt says Jesus Christ 24.
Yes.
Is he on the ballot?
He's not on the ballot, but Trump is so doggone close.
Do you believe America's a Christian country?
We were founded on Christianity, sir.
And I still believe it's a Christian country.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, I am, and I don't like what's going on with what they're trying to do to us Christians.
What are they trying to do?
Well, they're just trying to silence us.
Are Christians under attack?
No.
America's founding fathers intentionally separated church and state. But
the one lady there at the beginning said, oh, he's so close to Jesus. They'll believe anything, Roger.
Unfortunately.
And by the way, the same people that think he's close to Jesus probably dug into their savings to invest in Trump media. Well, Trump media, because we've been following it for about a little over a week now, Trump media is now down to $31 a share from nearly $80 a share on March the 26th. And CNN noting, in fact, anyone who bought Trump media at the closing high of $66.22 on March 27th has now lost more than half their money. And even Nitwit Nero himself, who has 57% of the stock, has now wiped out more than half of his wealth, so-called, that was coming from it. to the point that Bloomberg kicked him off of their billionaires list. And here's one of the most fun ones. Marginal trailer queen bought shares. And the CNN report said, one common way to value stocks is to measure their price-to-sales ratio. Even if Trump Media's share price crashed at just over a dollar, it would still have a much steeper price-to-sales ratio than Meta, Pinterest, Snap, Reddit, or even Rumble, according to Renaissance Capital's Matthew Kennedy. So apparently Marge Sporkfoot has already taken a haircut on it, and she may wind up absolutely bald. But to go back to the question of him testifying in the trial beginning Monday.
It's a sham. And it's a shame. What they've done is a shame. What they're doing is a crime.
More and more, Trump is sounding like an adenoidal Truman Capote. And they said, well, wouldn't it be risky for you to testify?
I'm testifying. All I can do is tell the truth.
Which is another way of saying his lawyers know better than to let him anywhere near the stand because they could wind up suborning perjury. And they know they can't let him on. They know they can't let him testify. Anybody who watched the fraud trial knows that they can't let him testify.
Well, I don't know why he doesn't just become his own attorney. Because when you represent yourself, you have a fool for a client, and he's already proven himself to be a fool, so why not? Yes, slightly tongue-in-cheek.
I understand. Darlene with a note, let's not forget everyone blamed Angelina Jolie for the breakup of Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston's marriage. The real culprit was Brad Pitt. Same thing with the Trump bond debacle. The bond mess was created by that stupid New York appeals court that was too cute by more than half. See what I did there? I see what you did there. They took Trump's word on his bond posting problems with little to no hard evidence that he even approached the 30-plus sureties and was supposedly rejected. The appeals court now has egg all over their face because Trump bamboozled them. And now AG Tish James and Judge Engoron have to clean up the mess the appeals court made. The one appeals court judge they showed looked number don't quite get that sentence, darling. The bond should have remained at $475 million. Bunch of boobs. P.S. The one sure way the trial can be delayed is if Trump says he's ill. In other words, he fakes an illness. And see, darling, he can't do that because he doesn't get ill because he's the healthiest man on the planet and he's going to live to be 200. He's in a box. So I don't know. I'll be checking my phone on Monday just to see how it's going. Or you know, on the road tuning into NPR depending on the circumstances. Or doing something I almost never do, and that is actually watching television. Back to Mullah Mike Johnson. Lee in New York said, kissing the Mar-a-Lago monarch ring. Are you sure it was a ring Mike Johnson kissed? Apologies about dinner and other meals. I get it. Unfortunately. And so part of what Mullah Moses Mike Johnson was up to by going down and kissing the aforementioned ring was to stick the shiv to Sporkfoot, at least per CNN and Caitlin Collins.
Incompetent. Thank you all very much.
This is from their press conference at Mar-a-Lago.
To former President Trump, House Speaker Mike Johnson was also there taking questions at the news conference at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. They were asked about the border. They were asked about abortion. Trump has even asked about Speaker Johnson's job security as he faces a threat from Trump ally Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who wants to have him removed as Speaker. CNN's Tom Foreman is standing by to do some fact-checking of what was said. But while he prepares that, let's bring back CNN anchor Caitlin Collins. Caitlin, obviously, he said a lot of harsh things, false things, things that are braggadocious, as you might say. What's your take on what we just heard?
Well, a few things stood out to me, Jake. And one, you know, you didn't hear Speaker Johnson actually take any questions there. He talked at the beginning about some legislation that he wants to stand up that I should note has zero chance of getting passed through the Senate. But in essence of how this went for Speaker Johnson, I mean, you see why he got on a plane today in Washington and flew down to Mar-a-Lago, because he just stood next to the presumptive Republican nominee and leader of his party as he stood by him and said he's doing a good job under tough circumstances, and did not throw any support behind Marjorie Taylor Greene's efforts to potentially oust Speaker Johnson from that job, and the way that she has said she has no confidence in the way he's handling that job. Instead, former President Trump there speaking up for him and praising the job that he's doing. But Jake, what broke through obviously from that is how Trump is feeling about what Monday is going to look like when he becomes the first former president to face a criminal trial. And he did say he's willing to testify. We'll see how his legal team feels about that. Mm-hmm. He has had a lot of animosity toward past attorneys who encouraged him not to testify at the E. Jean Carroll trial. But what he said there, Jake, really underscores the significance of what Monday is going to look like. And the former president said, jury selection is largely luck. It depends on who you get. And certainly those two sentences are true, Jake, among the things that he did say. And what that jury looks like is something that his team is hyper-focused on right now. Because all it takes is one juror for this case to not go the way that the district attorney Alvin Bragg hopes it will go. And so clearly you can see just how focused he is on what Monday is going to look like. Jake, the other thing that we've been talking about all week is abortion. And you heard the former president there asked about why we should believe now that he won't sign a federal abortion ban if he's in office again. He says it would not be necessary because Roe versus Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. And I think a statement that the Democrats will probably be using in their ads, he said, we broke Roe versus Wade, obviously taking credit for that and giving credit to the Supreme Court and the three justices that he put on that court. But when he was asked one point, Jake, if he was pro-choice or pro-life, he said, you know the answer to that. But he did not say, you know, what that answer is. And that just stands out to me. I mean, you remember Governor Ron DeSantis said he doesn't think Trump is pro-life, that he thinks he actually, you know, is someone who, you know, puts forward policies that aren't conservative and isn't actually a believer in that underlying policy. He didn't actually answer that question, Jake.
Yeah, I mean.
So the whole thing was a dodge to send a message to Sporkfoot, which tells you exactly who's actually running the show in the House. It ain't Mullah Moses Mike. It's Sporkfoot. And he, and by the way, as far as the hush money trial is concerned, he's been hammered one more time in a last-minute ruling just hours ago. Judge Mershon denied his attempt to, Nitwit Nero's attempt to stop the trial again, this time claiming pretrial publicity made it impossible for him to get a fair trial. Judge Mershon didn't even waste any real effort on it. It was a four-page ruling. He said there's nothing novel about a case being covered in the media. And that this is basically not a legit complaint, which of course it isn't. And went on to say the pretrial, the people have provided the transcript of Weisselberg's guilty plea, where he answered under oath in open court under penalties of perjury. No one had forced him to plead guilty. This contrasts with defendant's accusations, which are entirely unsupported. In fact, defense counsel clearly ignores the words contained in the official transcript. Ow! So, barring you know, the asteroid arriving. Shit's going to happen on Monday. And he may have finally reached that point where even if by some miracle he gets a not guilty verdict, he's going to have to sit through the trial. And God help his lawyers if they let him get on the stand. Now, Roger, what you were talking about, firing lawyers, that might be where that could occur. You know, I'd welcome the input from Billable Rick or Steve. Where is Steve this evening? He's going to get demerits. But that might be the moment. If they have a Donnybrook over, see what I did there, Donnybrook, over whether he testifies or not. Because then when he gets on the stand and starts lying, under the rules of professional conduct or whatever obtains in New York, that's when his lawyers get up and go to the bench in protection of their own law licenses and say, Your Honor, I can't ask any more questions of my client, which the judge will then understand with beyond a doubt means he's lying his ass off and please don't accuse us of suborning perjury. So this is gonna get rather dramatic, I think. And by the way, we've reached the third hour of the program. Charlene still has a $150 challenge on the table that is unanswered. So if we can come up with $150 in this hour, that's 15 people at $10 or 10 people at $15, then Charlene will double it and add 50 more. And we will knock down the fundraising goal under the four-digit mark. Oh, hell, we'll just let... I can't count the days I wasn't here. We'll see. That'll get us down to $600. Thank you, Charlene, and I sincerely hope that folks will respond to her challenge because it was so kindly made. And at this point in time, it's we're at one of the scary portions of the month. Because they always are. PayPal buttons over at headon.live, etc. Y'all are kind of quiet this evening.
But I refreshed my memory. The state puts on their case first, and then the defense gets to do theirs. Am I correct on that?
As far as, after jury selection... Then the state stands up and gives their opening statement, and then the defense stands up and gives theirs. An opening statement, by the way, is not supposed to be an argument. It is merely a statement of the facts that the state intends to prove, and then something in the way of factual rebuttal by the defense. If they wish.
And then witnesses get called.
Right, in what is called the state's case in chief.
And that is the first testimony.
Yeah, that's when he has to start listening to his sins be enumerated.
Yeah, so he's going to have to, starting Monday, there's the jury selection and all that, but then he's going to have to sit there and listen to his alleged sins spread out for undoubtedly several days where he is going to be unable or... should not be able to say anything or do anything. I mean, if he even sits there at the table and says, that's a lie, I mean, just blurts out, that's a lie, or she's lying, or he's lying, that's a kind of contempt, isn't it?
It could be contumacious conduct, but the thing that's more... that I lean more into here, Roger, is the fact that this is a criminal trial. Civil trials, you know, juries are sacrosanct, but a criminal trial is even more so. And so as a consequence, if he sits there and starts shaking his head and Well, the jury watches everything. And if he starts trying to attack the judge, understand that when a jury is seated, they tend to view the judge as their friend. Not like I want to have a cold beer with George Bush, my friend, but they see that they and the judge are on the same side because the jury will have been instructed that they are to be the triers of fact and that the judge will be the trier of law. And so their work, they, the jury and the judge, are actually the court. And as finders of fact, they can observe they are duty bound to observe the demeanor of the defendant and of the witnesses. And so if he starts yelling, "It's a lie," well, then the judge has a right to call him down and tell him to restrain himself, or that the court will restrain him for himself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The only juries I've ever sat on were civil.
Yeah.
And that was quite some time ago. And that was why I asked the questions about the procedure, was just to make sure that he was going to have to sit and listen to his sins and keep his mouth shut, which is going to be real hard for him.
Yeah, I mean, I can we kid and such, but I can almost see him sitting there with gagged. Not a gag order, but just a gag.
Yeah. Put a sock in it.
And, of course, the jury in this case will have to find him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But we talk about him listening to his sin, or listening to his sins recounted. Yeah, he hates Michael Cohen. But Michael Cohen has recordings and contemporaneously recorded recollections. And then there's Alan Weisselberg, who has already entered a guilty plea. And probably, and of course, Stormy Daniels. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Karen McDougal.
She's on the list.
Yeah. But the one I think that's going to really break him is Hopi Hicks. Because she was on every call, she heard these things, and she can testify to the accuracy of what Michael Cohen testifies to. And that may just tighten the noose around his neck.
Well, I hope it gets tight enough to where he ends up with a stroke. I'm sorry.
I don't think you have to hope. I think the pressure is going. I mean, look at
Letitia Jones. I call her Peekaboo.
And everybody knows that Peekaboo is standing in for another racial slur that he would use if he thought he could get away with it.
I don't want him to stroke out till he's convicted. If he dies before he's convicted, he still dies unconvicted.
And his followers, cult followers, will still maintain that he was innocent.
Oh, they're going to do that if he's convicted in every one of these criminal trials. Roger, you're old enough. Do you remember the Republican response to Nixon being proven absolutely to have ordered and participated in the cover-up in Watergate? What did the diehards say?
Denied it.
Well, I mean, even if he'd done it, every other president done it, he just got caught. It's only illegal if and you get caught. Remember?
Yeah.
Tracy, you've been decidedly quiet this evening.
Hey, I was just about to chime in. I'm getting the Eric Toyunin and I are going to see Funny Girl.
Oh, fun.
Fun, yeah. And so I'm standing trying to go, should I wear this? Should I wear sparkly? Should I just go with jeans? I don't know. But hi, everybody. I've just listening because I was multitasking because I'm getting ready. I'm having to watch all this stuff for my new position as a live life expert.
Mm-hmm.
Deputy me. And we had our first meeting. And so I am literally going to be working with this, with the founder of this organization on building a fellowship from the ground up.
Wow.
So, yeah. I am incredibly excited. I'm still, in awe of the fact that, she chose me. And so, I have my work cut out for me, but, I know that I'm up to the task. And
oh, I think we all know that.
And it's just helping me build my brand as soon to be as a social entrepreneur, because I'm a firm believer, when the all boats rise mentality, and I cannot be in my success if I don't include helping my community, be it Black, queer, or just Black communities, then what am I doing? It can't be all about me. But it also, and so yesterday I met with another young lady, very sweet girl, and she's gonna. So I'm working on my business plan for my tour company, and she's gonna help me once I kind of get my business plan intact or whatever, just get my ideas down on paper. Because once I think one of the reasons why I've been stalling about doing a business plan is because once I do that, then it becomes real and I have to do this, right?
Yeah.
And so she's going to help me because I went over, how it's going to start, where I'm going to start. And finally, I'm getting focused on how I'm going to, what sections of LA I'm going to start in. So there's going to be like the downtown portion in parts of South LA. And then it's going to be the West Side. And then there's going to be the South Bay, beach cities. And, I'm seeing it more and more come true. And so once I get it down on paper, she's about to leave in the next week or so for Italy. But she's going to help me find foundations that want to help social entrepreneurs. With grants anywhere between $30,000 and $100,000. So it gives me, and it's not even funding. These grants are for people who have a vision and a social, like I said, to lead into social entrepreneurship and just to have that free, that breathing room. So yes, I might have to work, but I won't have to work every fucking day. And it gives me the time and the energy and the funding to be able to start my business, and then once we get it started, then work on funding to do more. So this is just so I won't I can actually concentrate on building a business instead of doing like most people do when they try to start a business. They gotta still work their day job in order, or their day job, their evening job, and their third job just in order to cobble together a living. So this is something that's going to probably help me in the long run, so I can actually really concentrate and get this up and running.
That's fantastic. I'm so proud
of
you.
And of course, thank you. But you talk about, when the tide comes or when all boats rise together.
Yeah.
Once that stuff started, because one of the things I'm going to ask her is, is there any way to help me find out about getting funding for what you do in West Virginia?
Oh, that would be sweet, but
This, but no,
not around here. There ain't.
I'm not. Well, no, that's. But you know, this woman knows people.
Yeah.
And I, you know, because again, every time I hear you having to literally beg to keep everything happening and going, it kills me. And I, you know, and you know, you guys know about my reversal of fortune and stuff. So when I think about you and I think about other people like you, the only thing I think about is, you know, what can I do to help Robin?
Because thank you.
I guess you're one of those people in my life. Girl, don't let, you know, if I came into, you know, that life-changing money, there's only a few, you know, of course I'm going to help people, but there's helping and then there's what, you know, what can I do to make your life better? There's a handful, and it's not even including my family because a lot of the people in my family I don't like. I love you more than a majority of my family members, let's be real. And so with that said, it's one of the, you know, like I said, if I ever came into a large sum of money, or if I can find a way to help you get funded or find a way to set your structure up so you can get funding, that's, you know, again, we're not free. I'm not free until we're all free. And if we don't, you know, as so-called progressives or liberals, if we don't start having that mentality that you may think you're free, but if I'm not free and Robin's not free, then nobody's free. And if people are in the position.
That's a very Eugene V. Debs position for you to take.
Right. If we can't get to a point where we are fighting for each other, what is, you know, the late, great Scott from San Diego, we're all doomed, Robin, we're all doomed. So
we're all screwed.
Screwed, that's it, that's it. So it's like, we have to start thinking and using that mentality. I'm distressed. I'm really conflicted right now because, you know, I was kind of poo-pooing the whole Cornel West candidacy for the presidency. And now, a couple of days ago, he picked his running mate, who is Dr. Malina Abdullah. And I admire both of them. But as a Black person, I'm conflicted because I understand where they're going with this. With the, you know, the prospect of them, you know, they're trying to get, you know, I understand what they're trying to do, but I'm terrified about what's going to happen.
Well, okay, let's delve into that. What do you think they are trying to do?
In my humble, you know, non-analytical, you know, not, you know, I'm just speaking on my own. I am. This is the time that I am not speaking for the entire queer Black community, or just the Black community, or Black women. As myself, as a Black woman who is not, has legitimate beef with the Democrat, you know, the Democratic Party, I think they're trying to force the issue, you know, to actually fulfill the promises that Black people have been waiting to, you know, I'm still waiting for my 40 acres and a mule. Kind of thing.
And they want to foster that conversation.
Right.
The problem, though, is, and I hope I'm not on thin ice here.
No.
Every third party vote. It's a vote for Trump. Period.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Every third party vote, whether it be for Dr. Cornel West and Dr. Malina Abdullah, or, you know, RFK. It is a yes vote for Trump.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, we live in a two-party system.
Well, I mean, it evolved that way. I mean, this is James Madison in Federalist 10 bemoaning faction and then spending the rest of Federalist 10 talking himself into thinking it'll all be okay.
Right. And it is like, I am terrified that this is, you know, because I'm having visions of Ralph Nader and Ralph and John and Gore. And,
well, I mean, consider, I mean, this is, we're already into the world of the weird. Nitwit Nero was trying to get a point across the other day, and he said,
well, if I was a Democrat, I'd vote for Robert F. Kennedy.
Well, Robert F. Kennedy isn't running on the Democratic ticket.
Right. I'm still loving how Cesar Chavez's family pip slapped him into, like, look, motherfucker. Don't even put our daddy's name in your mouth. Okay? Just don't do it. That shit made me sick.
Oh, he resurrected one of the JFK slogans for Latino outreach, Viva Kennedy. And I think, I think it's a logo, and the Viva and the Kennedy are written on the brim, you know, looking down at it on the brim of a sombrero.
Oh,
let's
sit. Bitch, no, not the sombrero, sis.
I mean, what's next? An Aunt Jemima bottle holding up a sign that says, I like Bobby?
Well, even though they, Aunt Jemima's gone, hopefully, if he does that, hopefully he'll use the one when Aunt Jemima got a perm and wearing pearls.
God. Yeah, she got pearls for the clutching.
Right, for the clutching.
So, oh, by the way, thank you to Christopher. Christopher jumped in a little bit earlier on Charlene's challenge, which. Y'all, we got 37 minutes to do $125. But Christopher jumped in simply saying, Llama Mama, Christopher. And there's a llama bell. Thank you, Christopher.
I can't forget how much the right wing cried when we got rid of Aunt Jemima.
They're still crying.
Still crying. Like
pissed about Uncle Ben, too.
Yeah. Wait, I thought Uncle Ben was still an ongoing concern. They got rid of Uncle Ben too?
You know who they rehabbed?
Who?
The dude the on the cream of wheat box. Cream of wheat dude.
So is he even on the box anymore?
They rehabbed the Quaker, the white dude?
No. They didn't do anything with Barbara Bush.
Okay, sure. You say cream of wheat, that's that guy, isn't it?
No, that's Quaker Oats.
No, that's Quaker Oats. Cream of wheat is the black man with the chef's hat on the cream of wheat box.
Thanks.
You're right. It's been years.
They didn't give him any pearls.
They didn't give him any pearls. That's, it's kind of rude.
Poor Mrs. Butterworth still out there being
a mammy.
But Mrs. Butterworth was a white woman.
Was she really?
Yes.
Just think of a rotund black woman when I think of Mrs. Butterworth. But she is a missus, so of course she's white. Because, black women, we don't get married.
Yeah, y'all be jumping brooms and shit.
Yeah, huh? And be having cheers out of wedlock.
Oh, what was it? You weren't in the room, and I'm not sure if it was Wednesday's program or what, but I forget what I conjured you a little bit because I forget exactly what the story was, but the next thing out of my mouth was, God, where's Tracy when we need her? Because the first words out of Tracy's mouth would be, and she clean, too.
Clean too.
What have I encountered here?
What have you done to my brain?
Hey, look, it's
Hey, Carl.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, dear?
I'm among the living. I'm a little frustrated.
And that's saying a lot.
I'm a little frustrated.
Yeah. Well, I just caught your you know, I heard about the Quaker Oats man, and that totally reminded me of when I was in high school. I used to come up with like really funny voices and draw comics and stuff. And I used to have a thing, an ongoing thing about the Quaker Oats guy. And so it was like the backstory was that, you know, he'd be laying out in the field and he was like about 20 feet tall, just laying out in the field somewhere. And you would just be minding your own business, walking around, and then suddenly he would stand up and say, "Hast thou eaten thy oats?" And everyone was like, "Yes, Quaker Oats Man, yes, yes we have. Please, please, Mr. Quaker Oats Man."
Yeah, him and the Jolly Green Giant. You wonder where the little green sprout came from.
Or the Stay Puft Marshmallow Guy.
Oh, yeah. But it was funny at the time.
Oh, it still is.
Still is.
We were kids.
You know what happens to the Quaker Oat guy when you piss him off?
Oh, God.
No. Do I want to?
Do we want
he turns
to?
Into Kane. Yeah, you do. He turns into Kane from Poltergeist 2.
I'm not a horror aficionado, so I'm afraid.
And that took me a minute. Yeah, okay, I get it.
I'll put a picture in the chat room for you. You'll understand in a second, because the premise is he's a priest who came over here with a bunch of people and basically convinced the end of the world's coming and sealed them off in a cave. The guy who played it, his name was Julian Beck, just like spelled like Glenn Beck, and he was dying of pancreatic cancer at the time. So he looked like the Walking Dead playing this part. But he looks like the Quaker Oak guy as an evil version, so I'll put him up in a second.
Oh, so Robin?
Yeah.
Because I didn't tune into the show till right before the Friday on the, you know, the Friday on the Front Porch segment. So did you get a chance to, I know you read the diversity hires, mm-hmm. but did you get a chance to read any of them on that on air?
No, I didn't. I just read it for my own enjoyment.
But, you know, just, you have to just read some of it because we both, this just cements how much we love Michael Harriet. I mean, the man, to be able to write like him.
He doesn't get the love he deserves.
No.
I hope he gets it in the form of money.
Right. Well, you know, his book is amazing. But the diverse, you know, because with all the bullshit about DEI and diversity hires and stuff like this. So, you know, I was crying. Because it's true. All of it is true. Because I think I talked about one day about how the motherfuckers actually had the caucasity to blame black pilots for what was happening with the Boeing planes.
Was that Stephen Miller or Nick Fuentes?
No, it was Elon Musk and
And Forehead Guy.
So a couple of other people.
Oh, Charlie Kirk. Tiny Face.
Charlie Kirk.
Yeah,
Charlie
Tiny Face. Yeah. No, and Little Face. The Dick Tracy villain was Little Face.
And then Candace Owens.
It wasn't just
co-signer of that shit. And like I said, Candace Owens is trying to, you know, come back, you know, trying to get her invitation to be unrevoked back to the for the cookout. Bitch, you will never.
Hell no.
You will never.
Candace Owens literally said if she had a black pilot in her plane, she'd walk off the plane.
Right. And see, but here's the funny part about how she how she was talking throughout her career about how inadequate and unprepared and unqualified black people are. So if, you know, using your argument that black people are unqualified, so then since you are black, what makes you qualified to talk about anything?
Oh, by the way, Randy Radar informs us that Uncle Ben's is now Ben's Original.
Mm.
So is the black guy still on there, though?
Yeah. He got de-uncled.
He's not an uncle no more.
He got.
Yes, I said
wait,
no,
wait,
I
wait, 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 wait. He got uncalled.
Llama Bell to you.
Llama Bell? Did I hear Llama Bell?
Yeah. Llama Bell.
Okay, thank you. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, if I'm not free, no one is free. I feel you, Tracy. I know there are more good people than not, and I can't understand people that hate. And then responding to the, and they clean too, Jimmy said, they speak so properly.
Right. She's so articulate.
Yes, articulate. Yes. and by the way, I got a Llama Bell for Trey in either Kentucky Stan or Ohio Stan. Going back to OJ, so will cancer write a book called If I Did It?
No.
Too soon?
Now I will comment for all the black people in the United States about OJ Simpson. So here is the majority of black people that I know. Okay, so let me just about the whole OJ Simpson conviction. I can tell you exactly where I was with a non-conviction trial. I can tell you exactly where I was when the verdict was read. Thank you. I was setting up a new Bath and Body Works store. It was me and two white people. And we had, remember folks, this is before social media. This is before really the 24-hour news cycle and all these other things. You know, we couldn't tweet about this shit. And so when the verdict came down, because they had the TV set in the back in the break room, and the look of those white people's faces, and they didn't know how to react because I was there. And they were looking at me as just, not knowing what I was going to say. And I said, let me just say this. I don't give a damn about O.J. Simpson because O.J. Simpson hasn't cared about black people in a very, very long time. But there was also that part of me that I was kind of giddy with the fact that for the first time, a black man was able to buy his freedom. I still feel that, if he did not kill her and Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, because we have to acknowledge and say their names. If he did not kill them, he knows who did. And so.
Yeah, hired it done.
Yes. And so my thing was. Black, for the first time, for a brief shining moment, white America got to see what black America has been dealing with for centuries, where white people got away with doing atrocities to black people, and there was nothing we could do about it. This man, he was one of the first black men that I ever knew or thought of or heard of, who had not only the celebrity, but the money to buy his freedom. Because if OJ had been, if his name would have been, OJ, and he killed a white woman, and he just had been a regular homeboy hanging out on 101st and Central, we would be talking about him in jail because he would still be, he died in jail.
Yeah.
And it just shone a light on our how our justice system is not.
Neither facially nor monetarily neutral.
Right. Thank you. Because see, this is why I need you, because you're
not facially neutral, not racially neutral, and not monetarily neutral. The other thing, and I don't know how many people have brought this up, but I think. Looking back, I mean, it would take a while, but honest to God, we might not have Caitlyn fucking Jenner.
Oh, this bitch.
Or those godforsaken Kardashians.
If it had not been.
Or what's her fuck Jenner. if it hadn't been for the notoriety generated out of the OJ trial.
That part. Because let me tell you, true story, when I first started driving cab, right, at the time, and still the majority, the cab company that I first started driving for was owned and operated by Armenians. I just got to put on my shoes. Owned and operated by my Armenians, right? So one day, because I started driving cab in October 2007. And so I asked one of the operations managers who was Armenian, once you've been working with Armenians, you know, if the last name ends at A-I-N or Y-A-N, they are Armenian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, and I prefaced it with no disrespect, but I know y'all Armenians and they are Armenians. And I'm like, who are the Kardashians and why the fuck do we need to keep up with them? Right. And so at that point, 2007 had been, what, 13 years or whatever since the verdict. And I was probably one of the few people who really didn't pay attention to the trials. I know it pissed up a whole, because that was the demise. The OJ trial, you know, brought on the demise of daytime television as we know it. As we knew it back then, as we know it now. But anyway, so they're like, and then this broke up that the Kardashians, dad was, you know, Robert Kardashian.
Right.
One of OJ. And I'm like, oh, because again, I didn't pay attention to the trial. Because again, I didn't care, because again, I was born and raised in LA, and I cannot tell you, I don't remember any event that O.J. Simpson attended in the hood. I don't remember O.J. Simpson raising any money for black folks. I think O.J. Simpson stopped caring about black people once he got in with the white people and married Nicole Brown Simpson, because or started dating that, and she was a child, by the way,
yes,
much younger. And her family, yes, pimped them. See, this is a whole, I kind of got some backlash when I was talking about Nicole Brown Simpson's family. And about how those motherfuckers pimped her out. They knew that man was beating her. But OJ was paying all the bills. And so...
Let me share something with you real quick. You might find this interesting. Our pal Joy in Ann Arbor posted something earlier today that I found fascinating. Gotta find it here. There we go. She said... And this is based on a tweet that she read earlier. This individual writing, I have been waiting 29 years to tell this story about OJ and his days at USC.
Oh, yes.
Now that he's dead, may he burn in hell. I have a story that I signed an NDA for that is no longer valid. I was a junior at USC working in Topping Student Center on campus in 1995. I was an administrative assistant to the president of student affairs that semester in the work-study program. In early 1995, Robert Shapiro and Robert Kardashian, USC alumni, walked up to my desk and said they had an appointment with my boss. I was studying to be a criminal defense lawyer with a dual major in poli-sci and international relations, so I knew who they were. The meeting lasted about 30 minutes. After they left, I looked at my boss like, what the fuck was that all about? He walked me outside, and we sat by the old sprawling big tree outside Topping. And my boss lit a cigarette for the first time in years and told me I had to sign an NDA because I could confirm OJ's lawyers were there for a meeting. Then he told me what the meeting was about. Before OJ could graduate from USC, the university paid off two families of two blonde white girls that he had dated and battered. They had both gone to the LAPD to report it. One claimed he also sexually assaulted her in their relationship. The school had a vested interest in O.J. going far in football and protected him at all costs. O.J. had been in custody for 6 months, and lawyers were in the discovery process for the trial. And O.J.'s friend Robert Kardashian, who knew O.J. from also being a student at USC, thought it would be best if those stories never saw the light of day. So a large check was written, given to my boss, and they left. I'll never forget holding that check. Now, did you hear that about that before now? Nope. That's how much power money enables. After he was acquitted, I changed my major to philosophy psychology double major. I understood that I could harm society more than not if I pursued law. This is also why I abhor the Kardashians. They're rich thugs, nothing more.
Keith Olbermann was saying last night on his show that this is the start of his career. ESPN was in L.A. And he said all the news people knew who O.J. was based on his criminal past, but they couldn't report on it. In fact, up until the time that, I'm going to say it, he killed Nicole Brown. I think it's pretty clear he did it. But, and then just because of all the evidence. But he said that they had been called to their house no less than 8 times for a domestic assault charge or a claim from Nicole. And the 8th time they showed up, O.J. threw a fit and said, "You've already been here 7 times. Why can't you just leave? We can settle this on our own." And I think it took 2 days after her and Ron Goldman were slain for them to come for him. But Keith had connections at the police force. And one of the detectives said, "Don't say he's a suspect, but for God's sakes, he's our only suspect. If you do, we're afraid he'll flee." So they had to bite their lips on it for a long time, too, and no one could talk about his past. But he said if you were in the right places, you knew who O.J. was. It wasn't hidden from you. He was never a good guy. He was a monster in hiding.
I can believe that. And and frankly, notwithstanding, Tracy, what you said about the Goldman family, I give props to Mr. Goldman for not giving up after the not guilty criminal verdict, and pursuing him to the literally to the ends of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sorry, he didn't deserve a moment's peace.
Nope.
And as to O.J., Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, "My last word, I'm like you, our gracious hostess. O.J. lost his pulp yesterday. Game over." Quality, Jimmy, quality. So we got a little more than 15 minutes to go. If we could raise the $125 that matches the challenge that Charlene in Rogues Island has on the table, it would be ever so helpful. And as I said, I don't have it in me to count days that I wasn't on the air, whether it's weather-related or otherwise. So that'd get us down to $600 to go. Because, well, the hole was 946 when we left on Wednesday. And fulfilling Charlene's challenge would get us down to $600, which is a lot more manageable when I get back on Tuesday. So thanks in advance to anybody who wants to help. I know it's the middle of the month, and that makes things hard. If you can help, thank you. And give Christopher, who jumped in, a little bit of company. I know he'd like that, too. So thanks.
I don't know if you got to see it, Robin, but how much totality did West Virginia have on Monday?
It really didn't matter.
Cloudy and rainy?
Yeah, nothing but clouds.
Oh. Well, I saw it from my backyard, and all the hoopla is worth it. I'd like to see another one if I'm lucky enough. It's hard to explain what you see when it happens.
I mean, I've seen them in the past, so, I mean, it's cool. There's no getting around it. It's neat. It's frankly, I was inundated by the stupidity that attended it.
Well, I had to pull over because I was driving before the call started when you said that people had Googled eye injury after the eclipse. And of course they wouldn't wear protection because they couldn't get a fucking shot to save their lives.
Right.
Why would they wear glasses? The doctor said wear glasses. Why would they do it?
Now, you're not the boss of me, MAGA.
Mike, what? We saw Trump do it. He's fine.
MABA, make America blind again.
Oh, so, by the way, when you talk about how, you know, the white people are still pissed off that he got away with it. So, of course, there was, you know, that the fact that when he did get convicted in Vegas, it was 13 years to the day of his acquittal for the double homicides.
Karma's a bitch.
Karma is a fucking bitch. 13,
I'm going to say Patrice, sorry.
No, no, it's just, like I said, because remember, this is the man that says, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
There was another gentleman who echoed what Tracy said in a different way, but he's an African-American gentleman too. And he said he went in the Army in the 90s. He went to Fort Bragg for his training. But he says he remembers the trial. He said there probably wasn't, honestly, many black people in America who supported OJ. But he said when he was off, we all kind of giggled because finally white Americans felt we've been feeling for 60 years in the justice system or more, where we were always wronged of the wrong crime and the white person got off for something we did or vice versa. So they finally felt the sting of it when it was clearly someone did something wrong. He's able to wiggle out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of which, I did a little bit of reading. We all remember the tagline from the entire trial.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Well, one, that was not a statement of the law, but that was some pretty pretty clever trial lawyer. But if you go back and watch the video, he has to put the gloves on over latex gloves.
Over latex gloves, so of course it's not going to fit.
Yeah, because with latex gloves, the powder to make them easier to put on are on the inside of the gloves.
Not the outside.
And so that made it possible for him to... And they'd also been previously wet.
Right.
And, of course, you know, Johnny Cochran knew all that. And, of course, the most hilarious part of all of that is that Johnny Cochran became famous out of the OJ trial, but he became even more famous because of something else.
Yes.
You know, you know what the something else is?
Depending on which party, are you talking about before the OJ trial or after?
I'm talking about after.
Oh, about the whole...
He died of brain cancer from cell phones.
No.
No.
No, domestic issue, domestic... Oh, is that where you're going with this, Robin?
Uh-uh.
There was something that happened. I don't remember what, but...
Nope, that's not it either. It's this. There'll probably be an ad. Of course, there's an ad. Stand by.
Robin, why don't you subscribe to YouTube Premium?
Because it costs money, Carl.
It costs money. Unless somebody is going to subscribe to YouTube Premium and then give her the...
I actually do subscribe to it because I can't take the ads. And I'll give you my password if you want.
Don't worry about it. We're fine. I don't know what I'd do if I actually played a video and it started playing. I'd probably die of shock. No, this...
It's not foolproof
this,
now, though.
Remember
when YouTube was free?
Yeah, oh, God.
Yeah.
This is the moment that made Johnny Cochran even more famous.
And so on this 15th day of what is considered to be the most important trial of the day, Johnny Cochran has appeared to defend Capitalist Records. The question now is, will Cochran use his famous Chewbacca defense?
What's a Chewbacca defense?
I don't know.
That's what Cochran used in the O.J. Simpson trial. God damn, I hate that Cochran guy. If he was here in front of me, I'd be like, hey, you stupid son of a bitch. I thought I'm going to kick you in the nuts.
I'm sure that would scare the hell out of him, Cartman.
And so, in summation, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've heard the version of my client's song recorded over 20 years ago. You've heard the exact same song produced by these cheats in the past month. I'd say it's pretty much an open and shut case. Make the right decision. Thank you. We got him.
Mr. Johnny Cochran, your closing arguments.
Ladies and gentlemen of the supposed jury, Chef's attorney would certainly want you to believe that his client wrote Stinky Britches 10 years ago. And they make a good case. Hell, I almost felt pity myself. But ladies and gentlemen of this supposed jury, I have one final thing I want you to consider. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chewbacca. Chewbacca is a Wookiee from the planet Kishik. But Chewbacca lives on the planet Endor. Now think about that. That does not make sense. Damn it.
What?
He's using the Chewbacca defense. Why would a Wookiee, an 8-foot-tall Wookiee, want to live on Endor with a bunch of 2-foot-tall Ewoks? That does not make sense. But more importantly, you have to ask yourself, what does this have to do with this case? Nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, it has nothing to do with this case. It does not make sense. Look at me. I'm a lawyer defending a major record company, and I'm talking about Chewbacca. Does that make sense? Ladies and gentlemen, I am not making any sense. None of this makes sense. And so you have to remember, when you're in that jury room deliberating and conjugating the Emancipation Proclamation, does it make sense? No. Ladies and gentlemen of this supposed jury, it does not make sense. If Chewbacca lives on Endor, you must acquit. The defense rests.
Okay, then.
Wow, he's good.
In a teary-eyed courtroom, Johnny Cochran has just finished his closing arguments, and as was anticipated, he did use the Chewbacca defense. Whether or not it worked is up to the jury to decide.
How fine do you the jury?
We find the defendant, Jerome Chef McElroy, guilty as charged.
Whoops!
Whoops!
Mr. Chef, you've been found guilty of harassing a major record label. The full fee of $2 million will be handed over within 24 hours.
Do I look like I have $2 million?
Well, you have 24 hours to find it, or else you'll have to go to jail for 8 million years.
It's actually for 4 years.
Oh, sorry. You'll go to jail for 4 years.
This can't be happening!
Oh, no, dude. Chef's gonna go to jail.
The Chewbacca defense.
Wow. I forgot about that.
Don't make sense.
It don't make sense. It just don't make no sense.
And that made it, that made him even, and I mean, it was obviously satire on the way that he obfuscated with the jury in the OJ trial. But more people knew about Johnny Cochran, an entire generation that was, you know, even now, an entire generation that wasn't even born.
Wasn't even born.
Yikes. And Joy Reid was not 25 at the time. I wish she would stop saying that.
Wait, what?
Wait, what?
Whenever she's talking about the OJ verdict, she goes, I remember sitting there, I was 25, blah, 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 blah. And she said it like a few times so far. And she was not 25. She was older than 25.
Well, I remember exactly where I was. I was, my parents had come to visit and watched me at work in the courtroom. Because I was a prosecutor then. And during a break, the jury verdict came back. And I was like, son of a gun, how about that?
Well, I mean, but see, this is when those things, you know, when they figured that, and this is the overstepping and white, they thought when by putting all these black women on the jury, they thought that they would convict OJ because he was married to a white woman. And
oh,
but no, it's like, but you forgot about how many hundreds of years of injustice. So this was their chance to get back, you know.
Well, I mean, if that might have been relevant, Tracy, if they'd been trying it in, you know, Itawamba County, Mississippi.
Right. You in L.A., bitches. And you're talking about the...
And the other thing I remember about it is just the absolute sewer of racism that came out of it.
Right. Now, was Mark Furman racist as fuck? Yes.
Yeah.
He was racist.
Oh, God, yes.
But did he try to... Did that keep... The fact that Mark Furman was racist as fuck did not... What is the word? Obfuscate?
Are you saying did it vitiate the case?
No, what I'm saying is Mark Furman was racist as fuck, but that doesn't mean that O.J. Simpson was not guilty of murder.
Right. But his racism vitiated the case.
Yes.
But, you know, that's why I said the best joke to come out of the whole thing was the line about John Elway getting arrested as soon as the APB went out. Because people were told to be on the lookout. The police were told to be on the lookout for a slow-moving white Bronco.
I'm going to say usually white people at this point, but white people still say when you talk about George Floyd, oh, he died of an overdose. Even though the coroner's report says he was basically choked to death, he started rushing. That's why he died. It wasn't an overdose.
Oh, yeah.
Not all white people say that.
True. No, I think it's safer to
say. A
bunch
of them do.
Maggots say that.
Yeah, maggots.
I've heard non-maggots say that. That's how, unfortunately, how much that poisons get through the system.
Ugh. Well, Robin, I just wanted to check on you after that terrible weather you experienced. See how you're doing.
Yesterday wasn't anywhere near as bad as a week ago last Tuesday.
Had to go in the basement.
Yeah, twice. I watched Annette get picked up off the ground by the wind.
Yeah.
It was harder on her because she did get picked up off the ground, and there's just too much of me to pick up off the ground.
That's something.
But it was terrifying, and I told my therapist, I said, I'm still processing this, and there is some post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
Because sitting there in the basement saying, well, you know, if this is how it ends, I certainly didn't see it. I didn't see this happening in West Virginia, but, you know, who am I to question? And, I mean, it was a really weird thing to ponder. And sad.
Well, I'm glad you're both okay.
We are okay-ish. But the biggest part of every time some sort of little disaster comes along, it hits here particularly hard because if I'm not on air, I'm not able to fund the program. And so that was a $900 hit yesterday, and then Tuesday, and then last Thursday, and last Tuesday. You know, and that immediately puts us $900 in the hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, the upcoming trip is a big deal, but so too is the fact that I've still got to keep getting the power company off my ass. And and when months are, you know, one little thing can throw an entire month into the... into a chaotic downward spiral. And so there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of worry over that. And that's why I've been kind of like, can we please meet Charlene's challenge? And so far with, you know, 40 seconds to go in the program, our dear friend Christopher stands alone in responding to it. And that's really weird for a Friday on the front porch. But it is what it is, and maybe the overnight crew will step in. I don't know. But thank you for asking, Carl. That means a lot.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I missed you talking about it or something, but I just, I'm glad to know that, you know, you're still there and that the house is still there.
Yeah, we are we've been fortunate so far, but it's just so bizarre that this is happening here. But hey, welcome to climate change. This is the new normal.
Well, it's already reaching up to 90 here, just trying to get to 90, and I just am not looking forward to the heat right now.
I wish we had spent more time talking about Arizona a little more this evening, because that is, it is such a portrait in hypocrisy.
I'll have to listen to the podcast. I haven't heard it.
The idea that Carrie Lake is now running around out there making phone calls to members of the Arizona legislature trying to get them to repeal the 1864 law that they gleefully let go into effect.
Yeah. Well, I never thought much of her, even before she started running for office or becoming political. You know, she was just some stupid lady on Fox News.
I think they know she's toast. Even the Republicans in Arizona know that she ain't going to win. I don't think her calling is going to make a goddamn bit of difference. I think that guy's going to beat her soundly.
I hope so.
How come an 1864 law that Arizona, I don't believe, entered the Union until 1912.
Right.
Why is the territorial law adopted and still on the books from when it was a territory?
Because when states go from territory to statehood, they incorporate the previous laws into the new state code.
But this law was created single-handedly by the governor of the territory. It was never enacted by a legislature.
Doesn't matter. A legislature enacted it when statehood was achieved. So its origin is 1864, but it was incorporated into the brand new Arizona state code in 1912.
And the Republicans here in Arizona will jump at the chance to take advantage of something like that. I mean, they salivate to bring something like that back.
Right, and they hate women.
Yeah.
And Carrie Lake understands now that she just got torpedoed by her own party in her own state Supreme Court. I mean, you should have seen the video of the fetus fetishists grunting and barking and groaning and moaning and rolling on the floor. I think it was in the courtroom of the Arizona Supreme Court, praying for the precious little fetuses.
They were speaking in tongues and stuff.
And just one last thing to sort of round out the evening. Earlier today, President Biden issued a warning to Iran, saying that. If Iran thinks it's going to attack Israel and people think the attack could happen sooner rather than later, all President Biden said was don't. We're devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed. Okie doke. But the thing is, the reason that Iran is contemplating an attack on Israel is because Israel acts with impunity and, in fact, attacked sovereign Iranian soil when they attacked the Iranian embassy in Damascus, Syria. And on top of that, you know, we've talked about how the worst elements of Israeli citizenry is to be found in the illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. Well, turns out that I guess the slightly before Shabbat, a horde of settlers, hundreds of them, stormed a village called Al-Mughayir, east of Ramallah, and proceeded to set homes on fire and cars on fire and beat up Palestinians.
You know, if Biden wants to win, he should put on his Brandon Glass sunglasses and come out with a very forceful message that Israel needs to stop. Just needs to stop.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody's going to be prosecuted out of this. The Israeli government's not going to prosecute any of these fascist assholes. Somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 settlers surrounded the village. 500 stormed it. They blocked all the roads, raided homes, fired guns at Palestinians. CNN got video showing parts of the village burning. And see if is Tracy still here? Yeah, Tracy's still here. No, Tracy's not still here. This might be reminiscent for her and for others. These settlers, these squatters, claimed that an Israeli teenager had gone missing earlier in the day. And so that was all they needed to get 1,200 people with fucking guns to go and try and start burning a village.
So an Israeli teenager looked at a Palestinian teenager looked at a Israeli woman?
It's got an Emmett Till feel to it. But here's the thing. The Israeli military showed up about 3 hours later, but did absolutely nothing to stop the vigilantes and, in fact, let them raid homes. They kept Palestinians from moving around. They blocked ambulances, the IDF did, from tending to the injured. And to add insult to injury, the settlers stole 70 sheep from the Palestinians.
Oh. This also stinks of the Black Wall Street, the story we're hearing about after 100 years. What town was it that the white people basically erased from the map?
Wilmington, North Carolina. And then, of course, Tulsa.
I was thinking Tulsa, exactly. Tulsa, they wiped it from the map because they're successful and they couldn't take it.
I mean, and the fact, you know, I mean, this is living proof of what liars the IDF are. They said, violent riots were instigated in multiple locations in the area after a search for the missing boy, and the IDF tried to remove the settlers. No, they fucking did not. Security forces operated to disperse the violent riots. During the incident, rocks were hurled at IDF soldiers who responded with fire. Hits were identified. Furthermore, IDF and Israel border police forces operated to withdraw Israeli civilians who entered the town of Al-Mughayir, you know, 3 hours too late.
Yeah.
11 ambulances, this was according to the Palestinian Red Crescent, 11 ambulances drove to the scene to pick up the wounded. And IDF said, a missing 14-year-old was last seen near an Israeli settlement about 2 kilometers from Al-Mughayir. So it's just as likely some Israeli did something ugly to the missing 14-year-old because they weren't seen in the village. They were seen in their own illegal Israeli settlement. It's disgusting.
It is. But my tacos are getting cold.
Go eat your tacos, Carl. Tacos. I bet your tacos are a lot better than any of the tacos I get.
Well, these are homemade tacos.
Oh, even worse. But I'll tell you this. I have some boneless, skinless chicken thighs that have been marinating for several days in mojo criollo marinade with some added pineapple juice and some Goya Saison seasoning powder. And I'm gonna take a run at Chicken Tacos Al Pastor.
Okay. Well, the good thing about Phoenix is that there's a Mexican restaurant on every corner, and there's so many good ones, it's hard to pick one. But you know, if you ever make it out this way, we should go out to dinner and have some
I'd love that.
Mexican food.
They're the real deal. Yeah. Uh-huh. We finally got a Mexican restaurant opened up here that's authentico, because there's a genuine Mexican abuela making the tamales in the back. And they are some kind of freaking good.
They call it Sonoran style Mexican.
Ooh. Well, I can happily announce we have $40 to go on Charlene's challenge. Wow. $40. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you to Too Much Hutch in Connecticut. Thank you, Too Much Hutch. Added to what Christopher sent in, that's 110. $40 to go, and we meet Charlene's challenge. Unfortunately, I've got to go ahead and close the program because Carl needs to eat his tacos. Dang it! Yeah. Thanks for everything, and my sincere apologies for what the weather has done to me. And so my again, I won't be here Monday. I'll do everything in my power to be back on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, the fundraising goal will be at $900. Assuming that we get that last 40 knocked down. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to the front porch crew. We had a good discussion this evening. And thank you. Thank you, Matt in San Francisco, for Hedy Lamarr. I just love that. She has a name now. Thank you to our challenge makers, our a la carte contributors, our challenge respondents. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger and Jeremy. Thank you to our news ninjas, who I am told are recovering. Gene and Ann are recovering from the ugliness that is whooping cough. Keep getting better, y'all. We love you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast. I'll get this one uploaded ASAP. Sorry about last Friday. The internet went down right after the program closed and kind of stunk on wheels. Thank you for your patience. Like, subscribe, like I said, leave a comment here and there. It really helps. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, a quarter of a century or more, serving out billions of hours of progressive programming and never asking a word, never asking a dime, never asking for anything except download it, spread it around, and enjoy it. Thank you for all you did, Ben. White Rose will go dark on June the 1st. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 25-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Keep an eye out for when you get your booster. Get your booster when it becomes available. COVID is not a joke, and COVID is not gone. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots because, well, you don't want to breathe what they breathe. You don't want to breathe what they exhale. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance as best you can. And if Nitwit Nero comes towards you babbling,
I'm definitely going to testify. I'm going to testify because of what Peekaboo Jones did to me.
Avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Wayne and Gina, It's all for you. Cross your fingers for a good appointment, and we'll talk Tuesday evening. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.